بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 10th and final session, reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله. And this is an advice from the Imam, which is divided into four areas. Yani, what should be the one who is seeking knowledge, what should be their relationship with Allah is the first part. And the second part is one's relationship with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third part is one's daily acts of worship that are outside of the obligatory duties. And the fourth area is the path or the road for seeking knowledge. And in this fourth area, the Shaykh has mentioned six advices, six matters, and we covered in the previous two sessions the first four of them. And today, بإذن الله تعالى, it is our hope to cover the final two and to close out this topic with these final two advices from the Imam. Before we look at what we have today, we're going to quickly review some of the matters that we covered in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide from lecture number 9. The first question being, summarize the first two advices of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. In the path of seeking knowledge. Summarize the first two advice. I'm sorry. Yeah. Summarize the first two advices, Naam, in the path of seeking knowledge. What are the first two advices? Anybody? First two, Muhammad. Good, one is good.
Read and memorize the Quran.
Okay, that a person should strive to memorize the Quran. And likewise, they should set a specific portion every day that they're going to read every day, and that reading should be with tadabbur and tafahm, and he reflecting on what one is reading, seeking to understand it. And if a person comes across any matters of benefit, any fawaid, that they should write it down so that they can retain it. Second matter that he mentioned in the advices, in the path of seeking knowledge. Second advice, Naam, Ahmed.
Memorizing what's easy from the authentic sunnah.
That a person memorizes what is easy for you from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second question, memorize the third advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The third advice in the path of seeking knowledge. Third advice. This question is difficult. Abu Bakr. Notafen. لأن هذا يضيع وقتك ويشتت ذئنك. ما شاء الله. That's from his old memory. I'm not saying his memory is old. His memory is a long time ago. Both. جزاك الله خير. يعني the third advice. Somebody tell us in English. What does that mean? What he just said in Arabic. What does that mean? Yeah, Ahmed.
Be diligent in focusing and sticking to something and not taking a little from here and from here, so we are not all over the place.
Naam. That a person should be diligent in being focused and remaining firm, steadfast upon a topic, a subject that one is studying, and not just being all over the place, taking from here and from there, because doing so wastes one's time and it also scatters your mind. Question number 3. Discuss what is intended by the author, rahimahullah, in this third advice. Yani, at-tarkiz wa thabat. What is, yani, intended by the author in this third advice, and how, yani, one establishes this knowledge-based foundation? Yani, what does the author mean by this? Naam, Muhammad.
Pay attention to the matums that are written by scholars.
Yani, al-inaya wa ri'aya. بالمتون, yani that a person gives care and paying attention to the mutun, yani the small books that are written to be, yani, knowledge-based foundations. Naam. So that a person builds their knowledge upon that. And these mutuna in various subjects, as the Sheikh mentions, it's important. This is very, very important that a person, and he focus and be steadfast upon something, but giving attention to the mutun, because these mutun in every science, whether it's a book that's written in tafsir or hadith or in fiqh, yani it's the foundation of knowledge in that science that a person builds upon. Question number four, mention at least one example of these mutun which become the knowledge-based foundation mentioned here. One example from the examples that we mentioned last week, Abdullah. Huh? Umdat al-Ahkam. Umdat al-Ahkam, which is somebody else. What is Umdat al-Ahkam? Somebody else. What is Umdat al-Ahkam, Ya'am Amir?
Compilation of hadith.
Compilation of hadith related to what subject? Hadith related to what?
The rulings.
Rulings. Ahkam. Related to rulings, and they're collected from the hadith that are agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Any other example from the books that we studied? Now, Mustafa. Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, Nami is a yani matin in Aqidah that a person can use as a foundation to build upon. Naam. Oh, Thalathat al-Usul, Naam. Inshallah, we're going to mention that tonight. Fadfadl. Arba'in al-Nawawi, Naam, also in Hadith. Tayyib, question number five. Memorize the fourth advice of the author, Rahimahullah, and the one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The fourth advice of the author. Muhammad, Naam, on this side.
Begin with the beginner level of books in any science and then learn them step by step and then go on to the next level. So the knowledge is deeply rooted and understood.
So the knowledge is deeply rooted. What do you say after that?
And understood,
Naam. You know, that a person begin with Sighar al-Kutub. And you don't begin with a major books, but a small book. Study it, examine it carefully before going on to what's above that, the next level. This is important so that a person what? Takes knowledge in a manner in which yani will become firmly rooted in their heart and they will be at rest, comfortable with it. They will be confident in it. They will know it well. Question number six. Outline the steps to be taken according to the fourth advice and the goal which is intended to be achieved by them. So this really is a breakdown of the previous. Any question? Any what exactly are the steps? Step by step, what is the Shaykh telling us to do in this advice that we just mentioned? What is he telling us to do? Number one, first. What we just mentioned, Thailand.
To begin with small books.
That's the first step. To begin with small books. Okay, so that's the first point that a person begins with the elementary, lower level, primary books in any particular field. Second thing, what does he do with those small books? Now,
memorize.
Okay, memorize, but master them. Yani master them, study them, examine them, look at them, review them, yani carefully until a person learns them well. After that, then what? Move to the next level, to what's higher than that. And the goal, the purpose of this is what? So that? Huh? So that a person will be grounded. So that knowledge will be, yani, grounded. Yani will be deep-rooted in their heart and they will be comfortable with it. They will understand it and know it well. Question number seven, and this is the final question. Discuss why Al-Arba'in of Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, has received a greater acceptance than other similar collections of 40 hadith. And why has it received a greater acceptance than other books that are similarly written just like it? Abdullah, we're going to start with you.
It's because the Shaykh chose the comprehensive speech of the Prophet.
Because Imam Nawawi chose, he selected the comprehensive speech of the Prophet, yani those are hadith that are comprehensive, that are vast in their meanings, that are foundation, yani laying foundation principles in all matters of the deen. What else did he say? Naam, Abdul Wali.
That if you memorize a single hadith every day, you will be complete for 40 days and it will become a strong sharia foundation upon which you build your aqeedah.
Yani that a person takes it little by little. It's only a small book, 42 hadith, person takes a little bit one by one. And it becomes a foundation now in the different various areas of science. Now, Zakaria.
If you memorize all the hadiths, it allows you to be able to tackle any situation with one of the hadiths.
If a person memorizes these hadiths and listens to, reads, studies the explanations of more than one scholar, until they understand them well, they'll be able to address any issue that may come across. Because these hadiths cover all aspects of the deen. These are some of the matters that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it is our intention to cover the final points of advice in the path of seeking knowledge. And as I mentioned previously, it's very important that we keep in mind that the Shaykh, rahimahullah, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he wrote this advice as a practical guide, for a person who's serious about seeking knowledge, and a person who's serious about learning their deen, about worshipping Allah, about trying to get near to Allah. It's incumbent upon us to take it seriously, to take it to heart, and to analyze, examine, look at carefully, even memorize this advice that he's given in all of these areas, and apply them in our lives. Every day, all the time. From now on. Bismillah. And especially this last area of advice, because this is what the question was about. Yani, the path of seeking knowledge. What are the advices of the Shaykh? He gave five simple advices. And all of them are important. And we're going through the last two of them tonight, inshallah. Hopefully, yani, the previous advices that he mentioned, yani, that a person is diligent in seeking to memorize the Quran and to read it daily and reflect upon it and benefit from it. And also, yani, making an effort to memorize whatever a person is able to memorize from the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person focus on a subject and stick with it until they understand it well, and that a person begin with the lower levels and then build up. And here the Shaykh says, and we're reading in English from page 42 on the top of the page to the end to 45, and in Arabic reading from page 52 from the top of the page until the end, 56. So he says on the top of page 52, yani, the fifth advice in the path of seeking knowledge, ihris ala ma'arifati usul al-masail wa qawa'idha wa qayyid kull shay'in yamurru bika min hadha al-qabil. فقد قيل من حرم الوصول حرم الوصول. And the Shaykh is saying, be diligent, be desirous of, be eager in becoming acquainted with usul al-masail wa qawa'idha. And that a person needs to know about, have knowledge of, and be familiar with the fundamentals of the issues in the deen. The fundamentals, usul al-masail wa qawa'idha. And that a person knows that these are the fundamentals, for example, in any particular science, whether it is aqidah or hadith or fiqh or tafsir, whatever it may be, there are some fundamentals that a person needs to know, the usul. And it's similar, yani, as an example, to simplify it a little bit, it's similar to, for example, a person wants to study what Muslims believe. So we believe a lot of things that are mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Lots and lots and lots of things. But what are the usul, the fundamental things that we believe in? What are the usul? Shaykh Uthaymeen wrote a book called Sharh Usul al-Iman. Sharh Usul al-Iman. So what are these usul, these foundations, these fundamentals? What are they? The six pillars of faith. To believe in Allah and the angels and the messengers and the books and the judgment day and the qadr. These are the usul. And then there are branches that come from them. So this is what the Shaykh is talking about. Study the usul in any area of knowledge in Islam, and then you build on them. But you need to know the usul. You need to know the fundamentals and understand them well before you go to the branches, to the subsidiary or secondary matters that come from it. Some of the scholars said that these are the usul of iman. Al-iman billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi rusuli to the end. And the asul of the usul, yani the fundamental of all of those is believing in Allah, which leads to believing in His angels and believing in His messengers and believing in His revelations and so on. So the usul is very, very important that a person knows the usul in any area of study. And it's qawaid, yani the fundamental principles, the rules or broad-based guidelines in any science. A person needs to know the qawaid. And I'll just give a quick example in the qawaid. For example, in the qawaid of Arabic language. Those who are studying Arabic language, you know that there are qawaid, right? In the language. It's important to know those qawaid. How are you going to study the language? You don't know that there are two types of sentence in Arabic language, which are what? A jumla, fi'liya, and a jumla ismiya. Yani, the jumla ismiya is composed of two essential parts. You have to know that. If you don't know these basic rules, guidelines, you can't study the language. You need to know that a jumla ismiya is composed of what? It's composed of what? Mubtada and khabar. We have advanced students in Arabic here. Yalla. Yalla. Mubtada and khabar. And so on like this. Okay, I don't want to get sidetracked with this, but I'm just trying to let us understand what these things are with the simplest examples possible so that we can know the importance of this. The Shaykh says, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ أُصُولْ الْمَسَائِلْ وَقَوَاعِدِهَا. That a person is diligent and he makes an effort, strives and struggles and works hard to become acquainted with the fundamentals, the foundations and the principles of any particular science. Then he says, وَقَيِّدْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يَمُرُّ بِكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَبِيرِ. And a person should qayyid, yani should tie down, should fasten, yani so that it doesn't escape from you, yani you write it down. Write down everything that passes by you, that you come across in of this type, yani of usul, fundamentals, and qawaid. Write it down. فَقَدْ كِيلَ, because it has been said, مَنْ حُرِمَ الْأُصُولُ حُرِمَ الْوُصُولُ. Whoever has been deprived of the usul, of knowing and understanding the fundamentals, they will be deprived of al-wusul, of arriving. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, the meaning of this saying is that they will be deprived of and la yasilu ila ghayatihi wa hadhihi haqiqatan. And he says in the footnote, this means that a person who is deprived of understanding and knowing the fundamentals, they would be deprived of reaching their destination. The destination is to seek knowledge of the science. If you don't know the fundamentals, you're not going to achieve the goal. You're not going to achieve the goal. Then that's the statement of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Yani be diligent in becoming acquainted with usul, yani the fundamentals of issues in this deen, of sciences, of knowledge, and its principles, broad-based principles and guidelines, and write it down so that you don't lose it. Sheikh Abdul Razak, in his explanation of this fifth point, he says, وَالْقَوَاعِدُ الَّتِي يُشِيرُ إِلَيْهَا الشَّيْخ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ وَيُؤَكِّدْ عَلَيْهَا وَيُؤَكِّدْ عَلَى الْإِنَايَةِ بِضَبْطِهَا. Yani these qawaid, these fundamentals, these yani principles that the Shaykh in this point is referring to here, rahimahullah, he said, and which he is emphasizing that a person gives care and attention, yani to understanding them, to having yani a precise and accurate and meticulous understanding of them, yani بِضَبْطِهَا, understanding it well, precisely, accurately. He said, these qawaid, هَذِهِ تَضْبُطُ لِطَالْبُ الْعِلْمِ عِلْمَهُ. These are the things that give the seeker of knowledge a good command and a mastery over whatever he is studying, whatever knowledge he is seeking. This is what enables the student to have a command over the subject, to master the subject. Because when you understand the fundamentals, then everything else becomes easy. Because you're going to always refer back to the fundamentals. If you understand them well, any problems that come along, as the Shaykh is going to say here, then you refer back to the fundamentals and it solves the problem. He said, these qawaid and these usul, tajma lahu al-ashbah wal-nazair wa tuzilu anhu al-ishkalat al-warida li'annahu yaruddu al-umur ila hadhihi al-qawaid wal-usul al-kulliyya al-jamia. Yani, knowing these qawaid, these principles and these rules, knowing them enables it, yani allows the person to bring together issues that are similar or that resemble one another, and to remove, yani to eliminate the problems, the ishkalat. When a person is not quite really understanding a matter, this will remove it. Because why? He refers it back to the fundamental rule. Okay, he refers back to the fundamental rule and then he understands it in light of that. He understands it in light of that. Like a fundamental in Islam that's very, very crystal clear, Kul hu Allahu Ahad. Allah is one. If somebody from the kafirs or the disbelievers or whoever says, but your Quran says, Nahnu nazzalna, yani we. Well, the fundamental rule is that Allah is one. He is unique. He's alone. Everything else has to be understood in light of that. So when there's some problem, well, how do I explain that? It's easy to explain. Allah says clearly that He's one. He's unique. There's no other one with Him. There's no partner. There's no associates. So a person, when you have a fundamental, everything goes back to the fundamental, eliminates the problems. Because a person refers these issues that are problematic. Back to the qawaid and the usul al-kulliyya al-jamia, yani the comprehensive, all-embracing principles and foundations. He goes back to those principles and foundations. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَالْعُلَمَا فِي فُنُونَ الشَّرِيَةِ حَرَّرُوا الْقَوَاعِدِ. Yani the scholars of Islam have formulated, have expressed and phrased very precisely and accurately these principles in every science in Islam. They have written down, yani the usul, and they have written down the qawaid in an exact, precise way so that people can know what is the rule, what is the guideline, what is the fundamental principle. They have been compiled and they have been formulated precisely and accurately and exactly so that a person learns them and they benefit from that afterwards. He says, for example, يعني على سبيل المثال في باب الأسماء والصفات الشيخ نفسه رحمه الله كتب كتابا من أنفى ما يكون لطالب العلم. يعني for example, in the subject of al-asma wa sifat, yani the names and qualities or characteristics of Allah, and tawheed al-asma wa sifat, he said the Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has written a book which is from the most beneficial of what has been written for the student of knowledge in this particular field. He has written a book that is extremely, extremely beneficial. Its name is al-qawaid al-muthla fi asma'i lahi wa sifati al-husna, yani the qawaid, the principles, that the exemplary principles, that's how they translate it, yani these principles that are yani excellent principles concerning the names of Allah and His beautiful, yani the beautiful names of Allah and His sifat. And this book, fortunately, has been translated. And I think it's more than one translation of it. This is one of the translations of it. And I think both of them are fairly good translations. In English, this book is called Exemplary Principles Concerning the Beautiful Names and Attributes of Allah by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. It's a few hundred pages, and it costs a few dollars. It's not that expensive. I don't know, maybe $20, $25, something like that. It's well worth whatever a person spends for it. Whoever is able to get a book like this. And if a person can read it in Arabic, of course it's going to be better than reading it in English. And it is also available in Arabic. Actually, this is a copy of it in Arabic. And this book is sold for 6 riyals, which is about $1.50 in Arabic. 6 riyals. Tayyib. Back to the Sheikh's point here. He's saying what? That the scholars have compiled books in which they have accurately, yani precisely, written down and clarified the qawaid in every field of knowledge in Islam, so that a person, if they master these qawaid and these usul, they will be able to understand whatever science that they are studying. He said, for example, the Shaykh himself, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, has written this book, Al-Qawaid al-Muthla, fi asma'i lahi wa sifati al-husna. Then he says, وَكَتَبَ الْعُلَمَاء قَوَاعِدْ فِي التَّفْسِيرِ وَقَوَاعِدْ فِي الْفِقْهِ وَقَوَاعِدْ فِي أُمُورٍ كَثِيرَةٍ وهذه فهذه القواعد من شأنها أنها تضبط لطالب العلم علمه. He said, so the scholars of Islam have written, yani, the principles in, for example, tafsir, the principles of tafsir, and the qawaid in fiqh, in jurisprudence, and qawaid in many other affairs, in all the different sciences of Islam, and yani the nature of the benefit of these qawaid is that they enable the student of knowledge to have a command of that science, to have a mastery of that science, because they understand its fundamentals. In tafsir, this is a book that has also been translated more than once, I think, Muqaddimat fi Usul al-Tafsir by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. This book was translated about 20 or 30 years ago. More recently, they translated an explanation of the Muqaddimah of Usul al-Tafsir by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and this explanation is by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. So both of these books have been translated, the Muqaddimah itself of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and an explanation by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And the last book that I want to mention here, because I don't know, like the time of course is moving, is a book of Qawaid in Fiqh, Al-Qawaid al-Fiqhiyyah, by Imam Muhammad Al-Sa'di, Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di. Al-Imam Muhammad Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di. So this book is a very small book in which he has mentioned, I don't know, maybe 15 or so, yani qawaid in fiqh. Qawaid in fiqh. that yani can be extremely helpful to a person if they know these are fundamental principles or rules, that if a person knows them, it's going to help them. If a person knows them, it's going to help them. And I wanted to mention some of the qawaid that he mentions there, but I know the time is very, very brief, so I'll make a photocopy of the covers of these books if a person yani is interested in reading them. They are extremely beneficial. Perhaps in the future we will look at some of them yani in detail. We'll actually read through them. So in any case, the Shaykh, he closes here by saying, and the Shaykh was Shaykh yani Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymeen akkada ala al-kitabati wa taqiyyid, yani he emphasized the importance of al-kitab wa taqiyyid. What is meant by taqiyyid is to tie something down, and the way you tie knowledge down is by writing it, by writing it so that you don't forget it, and when you need it, it's available, you know where it's at. He said he has emphasized this point of kitabah, writing down these principles wherever you may find them. And he said, write them down wherever you find them. And so that you can preserve them and have access to them whenever you need them. Here, the Shaykh mentions a story. He said, أَذْكُرْ أَنِّي سَمِعْتُ مِنَ الشَّيْخِ إِبْنِ أُثَيْمِينَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ فَاعِدَ يَرْوِيهَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ طَرِيفًا جِدًّا. He said, I'm going to mention something that I heard directly from Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. A benefit that is rare, interesting, and perhaps even yani humorous, that the Shaykh yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Thaymeen mentioned about himself. He's narrating an incident that took place yani in his own life. He says, we were reading to the Shaykh, yani his teacher, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying, we were reading to Shaykh al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in the courtyard of the masjid, yani in the outdoor, open air, outside area of the courtyard of the masjid, behind the masjid. So we were reading, yani to him, reading one of the books, وَكَانَ شَيْخْ يَشْرَى. And he was explaining to us the meaning. As we were reading the text of the book, he would explain what these things mean. يَقُولُ, yani Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, فَمَرَّتْ تُيُورٌ فَرَفَعَتُ بَصَرِي وَأَخَذْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهَا وَأُتَابِعُهَا فَانْتَبَهَ لِي الشَّيْخِ السَّعْدِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَ لِي يَا مُحَمَّدْ صَيْدْ الْعِلْمِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَيْدْ الطَّيِّرِ. He said, while the Shaykh was, we were reading to him and he was explaining, some birds flew by. He said, so I, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, I looked up at them and I began to look at them and follow them. And the Shaykh, the teacher, noticed that I was distracted. And he said to me, Ya Muhammad, Sayyid al-ilm, yani seeking knowledge, hunting. Sayyid means hunting, like you're hunting for some birds or game or whatever. Sayyid al-ilm, khayrun min sayyid al-tayr. Yani hunting knowledge, seeking knowledge is better than hunting birds. Yani what you distracted with is not important. This is what we're doing is more important than that. This is better than that. So, Shaykh Abdul Razak says, so the point of this yani incident that he said I heard directly from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen himself, he said the point is Sayyid al-ilm tuqayyad mithla Sayyid, yani Sayyid al-tayr wa Sayyid al-ghazal. Idha ma quyyid wa rubita yafir wa yadhhab. So he said that which is hunted, yani of knowledge, the knowledge that a person seeks, it is tied down. Yuqayyad, it is tied down, it is fastened, it is captured, it is preserved the same way an animal that's hunted, whether it's a bird or a gazelle or whatever. If it is not tied down, if it is not fastened, then it will flee. It will leave. And if a person hunts an animal and they catch it and they don't tie it down, when they come back, it's not going to be there. So the same thing he said, in the same way, knowledge, if a person is seeking knowledge, if you don't tie it down, it's not going to remain. It's going to flee. It's going to leave. He said, so the game or the hunting of knowledge, it is tied down, it is fastened, it is captured by al-kitaba, by writing. Because if you don't tie it down, if you don't write it, when you are in need of it later on, you will not find it. You will not find it. And for this reason, the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, emphasize the importance of this matter of writing down these principles, these usul, and these qawaid, wherever you find them. In the footnote, And he also mentioned here that Al-Allama Bakr ibn Abdullah ibn Abu Zayd, rahimahullah, mentions in his book, Hilyat Talib al-Ilm. He mentioned in his book that a person must exert their self, yani ibdal al-juhud fi hifz al-ilm, yani hifz kitab. Yani preserving knowledge is of two ways. It's either by memorizing in your heart or writing it down. There are two types of hifz, of knowledge. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, he is saying, make an effort to preserve the knowledge by writing it down. Because لِأَنَّ تَقْيِيدَ الْعِلْمِ بِكِتَابَ أَمَانٌ مِنَ الْضِيَاءِ. Because a person who ties down the knowledge by writing it, by recording it, this is an assurance of it not being lost. Of it not being lost. وَقَصْرٌ لِمَسَافَةِ الْبَعْثِ عِنْدَ الْإِحْتِيَاجِ. And also it cuts short the distance when a person is researching at a time of need. If a person has already learned something and they wrote it down, they don't have to search for it again. It cuts short the distance of researching at a time of need. Especially, وَلَا سِيَمَا فِي الْمَسَائِلِ الْعِلْمَ الَّتِي تَكُونُ فِي غَيْرِ مَضَانِيَا. Especially those issues that a person finds in a book that's not in the place where you expect it to be. Yani you found some benefit about Salat, but it's not in the book of Salat. It's in another book, in the book of Hajj, it was mentioned there. And the Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his Sahih, sometimes mentions the hadith 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times. And he mentions different parts of the hadith in different places, under different chapters. So a person might have some difficulty in finding, I read it, I know, I thought it was in the book of Salat. But actually he put it in the book of Salat, he put it in the book of Hajj, he put it in some other book. And a person might not know where to find that particular narration. So he said this helps a person, especially with those issues that might not be in the place where you expect it to be. And from the greatest of its benefits is that a person, عند كبر السن وضعف القوى يكون لديك مادة تستجر منها مادة تكتب فيها بلا عناء في البحث والتقصي. He said from the greatest or the best, the most lofty of the benefits is that a person, when they reach the older age, when they become older, and the young people probably don't imagine what that's like. They just think they're always going to be young. It's not going to be like that forever. If you live long, you'll see. He said, especially when a person reaches old age, وَضَعَفْ الْقِوَى, and when their strength becomes weakened, yani their physical strength, and more importantly, their mental ability, capacity, their memory becomes weakened. It's not the same anymore. He said, then they will find that they have some madda, yani some material that they have collected, that they have written down and recorded, important matters, important principles, important foundations, that they can use to write from without any effort. Yani in terms of researching and finding the details, the meticulous details of a thing that they found before and they wrote it down and it's there for them when they need it. The sixth point. So, I mean, the point here is what? That it is of great benefit to write down when you find important points from the usul and the qawaid, or other benefits that a person finds to have a notebook, a place where you're going to write these things down, so you don't have to look through volumes of books. Rather, you go in your notebook and you know you're going to find it there, even if it's 10 years later. I myself have notebooks like this. And when you go back, you're surprised, especially if you didn't read that thing in 10 or 15 years. And it's there, and you know that you wrote something about this in your book, and you go back and you find it. You look through 50 pages. That's not looking through 50, not like looking through 50 volumes of books, looking through a whole library for something. And I may have mentioned previously that Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, the Sheikh's father, Sheikh Abdul Razak's father, when he was teaching us Asma wa Sifat in the second year in the Kulliyah, he told us about his notebook, that he took from Fathul Bari, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. And the students were amazed. So they said to him, Sheikh, like, can we see it? Can you lend it to us? We'll, you know, benefit from it. So some of the students got him to give it to them, and they typed it up, and they printed it into a book that's printed now. And the benefits that Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad wrote in his teaching of Fathul Bari. How many years he was teaching that book? And he wrote notes, and all those notes were compiled, and they were preserved. And that's just for his benefit, for people after him. The sixth matter, and this is the final matter, of the advices in the path of seeking knowledge. Sadisan wa akhiran yaqulu naqish al-masail ma'a shaykhika aw man tathiqu bihi 'ilman wa deenan min aqranik. Yani naqish al-masail ma'a shaykhika. Yani have a full detailed discussion with your sheikh concerning the issues that you are learning, that you are studying. Discuss them, go over them, go back and forth and ask and investigate, yani, these issues with your sheikh or with any of your contemporary students who you trust their knowledge and their deen. You trust them because of their knowledge and because of the integrity of their deen, that these people are upright people. If not the sheikh, then one of the other students who you trust, their knowledge and their deen. The sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Razak says, مَا كُلُّ الْأَقْرَانِ يَصْلَى لِذَلِكَ. Not every fellow student, not every one of your classmates is fit for this, is suitable for this kind of discussion with, the discussion that you have with your sheikh. Not every classmate is suitable for that. وَإِنَّمَا يَتَمَيَّزْ بَعْدُ الْأَقْرَانِ بِعِلْمِهِ وَعِنَايَتِهِ وَضَبْطِهِ. But rather, some students have distinguished themselves and they stand out from the others because of the knowledge that they have attained, that they have, yani, acquired, and because of their inayah, their care to the study. And they give care, they're not careless, but they are people who are really paying attention because of their dhabt, because of their command of the science or of the subject. So if there's a student and you can't get to the teacher, then if there's a student that you trust him because of his knowledge and his deen, then you can also, yani, have this kind of discussion back and forth with one of your classmates. He said, ناقش المسائل مع شيخك أو من تثق به علما ودينا من أقرانك ولو بأن تقدر في ذعنك أن أحد يناقشك فيها. Even if you couldn't find another student to do this with, then he said, ولو بأن تقدر في ذعنك. يعني in your mind, you imagine that there's somebody having this discussion with you, that you're going back and forth over these issues. In your mind, you imagine that there's somebody. And you imagine that he's asking you about a certain issue and you're trying to explain it. Or he's questioning something, you're trying to answer it and respond to it. That's what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said. The Shaykh said, Unzur. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, هذه الفائدة جميلة. This is a beautiful benefit. He said, imagine in your mind that there's somebody discussing, investigating this mas'ala, this issue with you. So you begin to respond and to prepare a response and responding to that person back and forth just in your mind with your own self. وَلَوْ بِأَن تُقَدِّرْ فِي ذِعْنِكَ أَنَّ أَحَدًا يُنَاقَشِكَ فِيهَا إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ الْمُنَاقَشَةُ مَا مَنْ سَمَّيْنَاهَا. He said, yani, you imagine in your mind that there's somebody having this discussion with you, this research of the issue with you. He said, that is, if it's not possible that you have this munaqisha, yani this discussion, this investigation of the issue, if it's not possible to have it with those whom we have mentioned. Meaning the Shaykh said, yani the Shaykh, your teacher, or one of the students that may be sitting in for the teacher to have this discussion with them. Shaykh said, انتهى هذه الوصية الجميلة المحررة النافية المفيدة لهذا الإمام رحمه الله تعالى. Yani this is the end of this, yani, beneficial, well, yani, formulated, accurately formulated, beautiful advice from this Imam. May Allah have mercy upon him. This is the end of the advice. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَأَسَلُ اللَّهِ الْكَرِيمُ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمُ يَنْفَعَنَا أَجْمَعِينَ بِمَا عَلَّمَنَا. And I ask Allah Al-Kareem, the Rabb of Al-Arsh, the Magnificent Throne, that he benefit all of us with what he has taught us. وَأَنْ يَزِيدَنَا إِلْمًا. And that he increase us in knowledge. وَأَنْ يُصْلِحْ لَنَا شَأْنَنَا كُلَّهُ. And that he rectify our affairs, all of them. وَأَنْ لَا يَكِلْنَا إِلَىٰ أَنْفُسِنَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. And that he do not leave us, yani, to care for our own selves, even for the blinking of an eye. وَأَنْ يَهْدِيَنَا إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And that he guide us to him, yani, to his straight path. إنه تبارك وتعالى سميع الدعاء وهو أهل الرجاء هو حسبنا ونعم الوكيل. Indeed, He, Allah تبارك وتعالى, is the one who hears, who listens and responds to our dua. And He is the one who is worthy to have hope in. And He is sufficient for us. And He is the best one to turn our affairs over to. And then after this, the Shaykh had a thought that came to his mind as he ended with this supplication of great importance. A supplication of great importance. Naam. He says, وَبِالْمُنَاسَبَةِ يعني here it is befitting, appropriate to mention that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen جُمِيَ لَهُ مَجْمُوعٌ نَافِيٌ جِدًّا سُمِّيَ كِتَابُ الْعِلْمِ فِي مَجَلَّدٍ لَيْسَ بِالْكَبِيرِ يعني a collection has been gathered together that's very, very beneficial, yani of the writings of the Shaykh, which has been named the Book of Knowledge, Kitab al-Ilm. And it's in one binded volume. And it's not big. It's not big. In comparison to books in Arabic, some of the books of the scholars, one volume is 400 or 500 or 600 pages. Naam. This book, it's not big. It's only 230 pages. He said, وَجُمِيَ فِيهِ مُتَفَرِّقَاتْ كَثِيرًا Many things were gathered together from being scattered from various different places. مِنَ الْوَصَايَا وَالتَّوْجِهَاتْ وَالْفَتَاوَى Yani from advices and words of guidance and legal rulings التي ينتفع بها طالب العلم that the seeker of knowledge will benefit from. Any advices that the Shaykh has written in various places or things that he has stated in various places. Yani, words of guidance and legal rulings that will benefit the student of knowledge, the seeker of knowledge, فِيمَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْمَنْهَجِيَ فِيهِ وَالْآدَابِ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَتَحَلَّ بِهَا طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ He said these, yani, scattered writings, advices and legal rulings of the Shaykh, which a student, seeker of knowledge will benefit from, are related to knowledge and the manhaj in seeking knowledge and the manners that a student of knowledge should adorn themselves with. The manners. And seeking knowledge is not just accumulation of information. But it also, there's a path, there's a methodology, and there are manners that should be observed. And we need to learn those manners. And other affairs besides that are in this book. And I don't have a copy of the book, but yani, it's definitely a book that yani, is worthy of being read. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah is the one who knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulihi, nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi. Ajmain. And so the salat and salam be upon the abd of Allah, the worship of Allah and His Messenger, our Prophet Muhammad and his family and his companions, all of them. And this is the end of what yani, we intended to cover for today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make it yani, to benefit us. Yani, that we actually understand the importance of these affairs, all of it from the beginning of the book to the end of it. And that we take it to heart and we try to act upon them. That we utilize these advices by practicing them. And that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in that we benefit from them and that we benefit others by them, any besides ourselves. And indeed, success is from Allah alone. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that we do it in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah, out of His kindness and His mercy and His generosity, that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, to be steadfast and firm upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a complete and quick recovery to those amongst us who are sick. And may He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious and admit them into His paradise and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims who are being persecuted and oppressed and slaughtered and murdered in Palestine and elsewhere in the Muslim countries and in the non-Muslim countries. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them any protection from Himself, from before them and from behind them and from the right and from the left and from above them and from below them. Indeed, and Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, and nothing happens except what Allah has decreed, and it's incumbent upon us to turn to Him alone, to put our trust in Him and to call upon Him, to depend and rely upon Him and to have faith in Him and to do what we know is right in every situation or circumstance, in public and in private, and especially in reference to the Muslims who are being persecuted in the world. The greatest thing that a Muslim can do, and it's not the only thing, but it is to get up in the last third of the night and make sincere dua to Allah, who is the one who hears and who is able to respond. And He's the one who does whatever He wills. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. There's just a few minutes remaining before the Iqamah. In this time, let's please try to observe the manners of the seekers of knowledge and the worshippers of Allah in the houses of Allah. We're in the masjid. Let's try to benefit from this time that remains before the Iqamah by engaging ourselves in that which is beneficial, whether it's dhikr or dua or reading the Quran or salat. And if we have to talk to somebody, please keep our voices down. And we should always try not to raise our voices in the masjids. And there are those amongst us who remind us all the time. When we talk to them, they lower their voice and they remind us to lower ours. And this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Muslim, Fadl.